John 14 and look at verse 15. If you're there, shout yes.
Yes.
All right, here we go. So am I. Jesus said these words, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you." Verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you." Lord, help me today. Holy Spirit, I'm talking about you, and I'm asking you to speak through me to the hearts of your people, that they may have a revelation this morning of who you really are and what you're really doing in our lives. And for that, we praise you. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Praise God. All glory to God. Amen. The study of the Holy Spirit is one of the most fascinating studies in the Word of God. Throughout history, there has been much misunderstanding about who the Holy Spirit really is. I want to examine the person, the work, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I want to begin with this question. Who is the Holy Spirit? It's very important that we understand that he is a person. Now, this misconception has been in church throughout centuries, that God is manifested in three ways. That's incorrect. God is three distinct persons, personalities. One in three, three in one. Co-equal, co-eternal. And they agree 100% with one another. The personality of the Father, the personality of the Son, and the personality of the Holy Spirit. From the standpoint of worship, many think of the Holy Spirit as merely an influence or a force. I felt the Holy Spirit, or he is a force that just maneuvers and touches and blesses. But that's incorrect also. He is a divine person. Everybody shout, person. And this robs the Holy Spirit of our worship to him. When you think about him as a person, as the third person of the Godhead, we worship the Father, we worship the Son, Jesus, but we also worship and should worship the Holy Spirit. We should raise our hands and say, "Father, I magnify you. Jesus, I glorify." But how about Holy Spirit, I worship you as a person of the Godhead, as God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because he's worthy of worship. Amen? And he is the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the. You know, some people talk about the Holy Spirit, and they'll say, "Holy Spirit told me, Holy Spirit." You know, I just like the Holy Spirit. Let's make a distinction there. He is the Holy Spirit. Amen? From a practical standpoint, many think of how can I get more of the Holy Spirit and use it? That's a term I hear all the time, like it's a power or a force. Number one, he is not an it. He is a person. He, him, he is a person. And many think, how can I get more of him and use him? When the reality should be, how can the Holy Spirit get more of me? Don't say, "I want more of the Holy Spirit." Say, "Holy Spirit, I want you to have more of me." Hallelujah. And that's the angle we must take as the people of God. From the standpoint of experience, he will change your life when you experience him. You believe that? One touch of the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit will transform a sin-sick heart into righteousness and godliness and make someone a new creation. One touch of the Holy Spirit can take someone who is sick in their body and make them well again. You believe that? One touch of the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit can break the chains of addiction off of a person's life. I still believe today that God still sets men and women free. Yes, you may always be tempted. I'm not saying that. But I fully believe that you can walk and live in freedom. And it takes a touch of the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the triune Godhead. He is a divine person. I want you to think about it like this. When we think about the Trinity, God the Father, He wills it. Jesus does it. And the Holy Spirit manifests it. You get that? God wills, 1 Timothy 2:4, that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says that Jesus became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. He did it. He paid for it. He saved us at Calvary's cross with the shedding of His blood. And we're redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus did it. And the Holy Spirit manifested. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Ghost. Did you hear what I said? Regeneration, being born again, comes by the Holy Ghost. You need a rebirth in your marriage, don't you? Well, here's how it will come. By the Holy Ghost. You need some problems solved on your job. You've went to the same filing cabinet one too many times. And you'd think after a while, this just does not work. But by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You've had problems, psychological, mental, emotional, for most of your life. You've tried doctors, you've tried medicines, you've tried therapy, you've tried counseling, you've tried shockwaves, you've tried this pill and that diet and this exercise. When the Bible says it's not by might, nor by power, nor by intellectual ability, but by my Spirit, the third person of the triune Godhead. God wills that you be healed. Did you know that? Jesus did it. How did He do it? Well, He took 39 stripes upon His back that you could be made whole. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost manifests it. He quickens, Romans 8 and verse 11, our mortal body. That's what He does. He is the one who manifests the power of God in our lives. When we think about the glory of God, Pastor Silas said it earlier. When you walk out here today and you see the trees waving back and forth, the sun glistening, and the beautiful sky, that's the glory of God. But there's a difference between the glory of God and the anointing of God. The glory of God is His omnipresence. But the anointing of God is the manifested presence of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't always happen. If I always walked in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, every time I hugged my wife, she would fall out under the power of God. But when He manifests, hallelujah, that's when things begin to happen. That's when things are recreated. That's when marriages are brought back together. That's when people's bodies are healed and made whole. That's when churches begin to thrive. When you come together and you, what? You pray. But when you pray, expect a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind that, oh, hallelujah, that will fill the house of God. I'm not talking about tongues and gifts today. I'm talking about the third person of the triune Godhead. Because if you get the doctrine right, everything else will follow. He's not just a force. He's not just a feeling. Hallelujah. Thank God. Write this down. God's presence is for fellowship. God's power is for service. I know many people who are immature spiritually, they look for a feeling. Well, I just didn't feel it today. Just wasn't there. Just didn't feel right. Especially Pentecostals. They get so bent on having an emotional experience when they go to church. I remember coming up in church, and if the preacher got up in the pulpit, it was like the Holy Ghost didn't move. It was like, well, we got to dance, shout, sing. Hopefully they'll play the right song so we can get excited and the Holy Ghost can move and we can feel something. And people get so bent out of shape on wanting to feel something that when they don't feel something, they think something is wrong. But he's more than a feeling. Believe me, I love to feel the anointing of the Spirit. But I hadn't felt anointed all morning until now. Amen. I stood here and I sang and it was great, but I didn't really feel much of anything, you know. But when I get up here and I begin to preach the word, I feel his anointing come upon me. Because the anointing of God comes upon you for reasons and for seasons. That's the anointing of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The presence of God is the glory of God. The power of God is his anointing. That's the manifested presence of God. God is everywhere. The psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Think about that. You can't escape the knowledge of God and the glory of God. But then there's the manifested presence of God. And that's the anointing of the Spirit. And that's what I want. How about you? Not only in this church building and in our gatherings, but I want it in our homes. Your marriages, your relationships with your children, your relationships with people on the job. What if the manifested presence of God came upon you in the break room and you prayed for Billy to be healed and God touched him? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, guess what? That should happen. But it can't happen if you're walking in worldliness, halfway committed to Christ. You don't come to church, much less prayer meetings, and you're not full of the presence and power of God. Blows my mind. People want circumstances to change in their life, and the one thing we should be doing the most, we do the least. And that is pray. And that's what the Holy Spirit is calling us to. The presence of God is given that we may know him. The power of God is given that others may know him. Did you get that? The presence of God is given that we may know him. But the power, the manifested anointing, is given that others may know him. Come on, amen. And the Holy Spirit is the main personality in your life today. I want to talk about some distinctives and characteristics of his personality. Number one, he has knowledge. He has a will. He has a mind. He has feelings. And he is a person. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn there in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read a passage to you that many can quote. And once you start it, many can finish it. But I very rarely hear anybody say the next verse, which puts it all together. And I want to help you today. Look with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You ever heard that one? You quoted that one? But look at the next verse. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Holy Spirit is the main personality in your life. And he desires to unveil and reveal things to you that you may not see spiritually, that you may not see in his word. He's the one who unveils these things. No, your eye hasn't seen. No, your ear hasn't heard. What God can do in your life personally, what God can do in your marriage, what God can do in your home, what God can do in your church, what God can do in the community. But the Holy Spirit is the person who reveals it to us. Because he knows the mind of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And he has knowledge. You believe that? Shout yes.
Yes.
He has a will. He gives gifts to men as he wills. Thirdly, he has a mind. He has an intellect. He has feelings. Ephesians 4 verse 30. Grieve not the Spirit of God. You can grieve him. Did you know that? You hurt his feelings. Think about that. When he convicts your heart and you're about to partake in something that you know he's telling you not to partake in and you do, do you know that grieves the Holy Spirit? When you go somewhere you shouldn't go, do something you shouldn't do, see something you should not see, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? When you live a half-hearted, committed life to Christ, that grieves the Holy Spirit because he's constantly pulling you to Christ. Come on, amen. And he's a person. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image. Our image. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The triune Godhead. God willed it to happen. Let us make man. Jesus did it. You want scripture? I'm glad you asked. Colossians 1:16 and 17. For by him were all things created, things in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. All things were created by him and for him. He was before all things, and by him all things consist. And the Holy Ghost manifested it. When he created man out of the dust of the ground. How? The Bible says God breathed into his nostrils the breath, the ruach, the spirit into him, and man became a living soul. Adam was deceived and sinned and disobeyed God. The second Adam came along and he lived a perfect life. And now what happens is the Holy Spirit births Christ in you. And when you make the decision to say, I will follow Jesus Christ and I will give him my life, the Holy Spirit, that same Ruach that hovered on the deep waters and brought life to the earth again, is the same Spirit that brings life to a dead, sinning, trespassing soul. I'm telling you, it's the Spirit of God. We are transformed. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he can do it today. He can do it today. I don't know about you, but I am dying and thirsting for a Pentecostal revival. Not foolishness, not goofiness, but a true, genuine outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. And I will pray, I will fast, I will preach till it happens. I believe it. I've seen too much of it not to believe it. I have. I'm telling you, I have. The Holy Spirit is a person. He performs works. Say works. What does he do? Well, number one, he prays. Romans 8:26. When we know not what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit helps our infirmities, making intercession for us. Dear God, raise your hands and begin to honor him. I just felt the Holy Spirit. You know, there are many here, many watching. Maybe you're in circumstances you have no idea what to do. Maybe that's you this morning. But the Holy Spirit, He wants to pray for you. He wants to help you pray. Oh, God, help me get this across. Lord, help me to preach this like I feel it upon my spirit. Because when you don't know how to pray, the one who searches and knows the mind of God can pray the perfect will of God through your life. And that's not just in tongues. That's just part of it. You can pray in the Spirit and not say a word. Did you know that? Because He helps you pray and get the mind of God. I love the Holy Spirit. You know, I've told this story many times. I've got many occasions where when I made a decision to live like hell and walk in the world and the ways of the world, and I did. And I did it 100%. So many times, I would be reminded somehow of what the presence of the Holy Spirit feels like. I'd go to church at times, and that cord would be stricken. You know what I'm talking about. I'd have to get out of there. I'd make some excuse. Sitting on a bar stool, sipping on gin and juice. Guy looks at me and he says, "Man, I had a dream about you." I said, "Man, what's this drunk talking about? Get out of here." He says, "Man, you were preaching in front of a bunch of people. It's the weirdest thing." Now think about that. The Holy Spirit loves you so much that He would follow you into a bar room, speak through a drunkard to get your attention. That's how much the Holy Ghost loves you. And He's brought you to God's house today and brought you in front of that camera and that screen that you're looking at to tell you that the third person wants to do exactly what He did in creation and recreate a dark earth. He wants to do what He did in Adam and bring life to him. He wants to do for you what He's done for billions throughout the ages and transform their life from darkness to light. He wants to do it for you. He loves you that much. He's praying for you. He's a teacher, John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I want to tell you something. The Word of God will not come to your remembrance if you never put it in there. Now, if you think just sitting here and listening to me teach it and preach it that you're going to be able to remember it when you need it the most, will not happen. You have got to make the decision on your own for when the time comes and you need His Word, and it will, that you have it hiding in your heart that you might not sin against Him nor grieve the third person of the Godhead. He's a comforter. We read it in our text, didn't we? John 14:16. And I want you to see something. If you don't have it, turn there quickly. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father. Now, in the Greek language, in seminary they teach you Greek and Hebrew. And I know why they say it's all Greek to me. But when you began to learn the tense of the text, I saw this the other day, blew my mind. This is in the future tense. When it says, I will pray the Father, Jesus' words here. And automatically, I began to think about Hebrews 7:25 that says, as the high priest, he ever lives to make intercession for you and I. Do you realize he's still praying this prayer right now at the right hand of the Father? I'm talking about the second person now. I'm talking about Jesus, the physical manifestation of God, the visible image of Almighty God. the glory that was beheld in flesh and blood. That's Christ, and he is still, get this, he is still a man. Did you know that? He's still seated at the right hand of the Father in the throne of glory as the Son of God. And here's what he's doing. I want you to know that he is a prophet, he was a priest, and he is a king. But he doesn't live to be a prophet, he doesn't live to be a priest, and he doesn't live to be a king. But he ever lives to make intercession for you and I. And this text is telling us that even today, as he told his disciples, I will pray the Father, he's telling you today, he's telling me that I am praying for you. And here's what he's praying. You ready? That he shall give you another comforter. Now in the Greek, once again, another means one like the same. Because it is him, you see. It's Christ the Holy Ghost that abides in me. When Jesus walked the earth, it was God in Christ. And he anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, if you're ready to go, take off. I don't care, but I'm feeling good and I'm going for it. You ready? He's still praying that you receive one just like him, a comforter. Do you realize these disciples were heartbroken because Jesus said, I'm leaving you. Not too many days from now, you're going to see the temple destroyed and risen again. They thought he was talking about the temple, and then he's talking about leaving them. Imagine how heartbroken they were. But he says, I'm going to pray the Father, and I'm going to send you another comforter. Comforter in the Greek is paraclete, one who walks beside you. It actually means one who locks arms with you. So when you come to Christ and you give your heart to Jesus, how many remember that day? Oh, hallelujah. How many remember the day you gave your heart to Christ, that you finally gave in to the call of the Holy Spirit? And if you haven't done that, I want you to do it today. And you knelt down in an altar by a bedside or stood or lying wherever you were and received Christ as your Savior and gave your life to him. Do you remember how you felt? How that you became new life and everything began to look different? The grass was greener, the sky was bluer, the future looked brighter. Do you remember the day that he saved you and transformed your life? And only to find out that it doesn't always remain that way. You don't always have that feeling, do you? Because you get born again and then the car breaks down. Washing machine breaks. Your kids leave the lights on, your power bill's high. God help us. You guys pray for me. All these things begin to happen. And here's what people do. You ready? Instead of running to God, they run away from God. You know why? Because it's what's comfortable to you. You revert back to the flesh. But here's what the Bible says. Walk in the Spirit that you may not fulfill the lusts of your flesh. And that's why Jesus is still praying today that we would get another comforter. I'm not talking about spirit baptism today. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about having the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life. That way, when you get into trouble, Jesus, yes, he saved you, the feeling left. Yes, Jesus walked with the disciples and he left them. But he says, I'm praying for you that you can receive this comforter, one just like me, and he will abide with you for a few months, a few weeks, help you through hard times. Nope, he said he will abide with you forever. And he will be with you, and get this, he shall be in you. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, you have an abiding presence of the third person of the triune Godhead. He is the main personality in your life. He deserves worship, and he's working in your heart and in your life today. God, how we need him today. Why do we need him? Because he points people to Jesus. Shall be in you. Glory. Somebody just shout amen, would you?
Amen.
I want to land it here. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit as an administrator. Think about this. Number one, he convicts men of sin. He's doing it to some of you right now. You haven't realized till now you've been a sinner your whole life and you need Christ. You need him. Some of you are backslidden and you need to come back. You're like the prodigal son. You've been eating in the pig pen too long. Come on, amen. Now, COVID hit the church, buddy, because people who were faithful and gaining momentum, they lay out a while and, well, they just don't come back. That's because the enemy has crept in there and you revert back to the flesh. That's always the temptation. That's why it has to die. Every Sunday. No. Every day. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Dying to yourself. That he may live. He convicts of sin. Number two. He calls ministers. The Apostle Paul, when he was talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verse 28, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost, who? The Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. The Holy Ghost put me where I am right now. The Holy Ghost put you where you are right now. The Holy Ghost put you where you are right now. Do you hear me today? He's the one who calls, he's the one who equips, and he's the one who manifests the fruit. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I want you to get it today because I want you to know that there is a God, and he is the God of our lives as Christians. Elohim is his name, which is plural, meaning more than two. One, two, three, right? Three and one, one and three. We have Christ who lived for us, died, resurrected for us, and he's still with us in the person of the Holy Ghost. That's why you have to nurture that inward anointing. Grieve not the Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. You know how you quench the Spirit? When we talk about quenching the Spirit, we think about a church service like this and things being, you know, planned and dry. No, 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 no. Quenching the Spirit is when you quit. Now, if I'd have said something else, everybody would be like, amen, that's right. But when you quit and you give up, that's when you quench the Spirit, because you hinder his ability to work in your life. He's a gentleman. He'll abide with you for a while, but if you reject him, he'll go away. Don't let that happen today. Don't let it happen. All right. Thirdly, he authors the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. There it is again. The breath of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. 2 Peter 1:20. The word of God came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by their imagination. They were moved by the culture in which they lived, and they wanted to write some good literature to be passed down through the ages. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I'm telling you, this is not just a book. It's not just leather and paper. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. It's life-giving. He inspires worship. Jesus told the woman at the well, I'm seeking those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. You know, facts, they change. Do you know that? They do. Facts change. But the truth remains the same. The news will give you facts at times. But then those facts begin to change, don't they? Medical science changes. The facts change. This was a fact 30 years ago. Now this is a fact because it's changed. But the truth is always the same. It's always the same. Aren't you glad for that? All right. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit are given to every man to profit withal. The key word there is manifestation. What is that? That's what I've been teaching you this morning. The third person, the Holy Ghost. God wills it, Jesus did it, and the Holy Spirit manifests it. He brings it to life. He makes it a reality. That's what he wants to do for you today. If you're watching online and you want to give your heart to Christ, it's simply a matter of decision. Believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you'll do that by faith right now, just simply do it. Say yes to Christ. He'll save you. Transform.